Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Trash it all. It started over 2 hours ago. Actually, right at 2 hours, because the new force would play. Definitely wasn't energizing. 713-780-3776. I definitely knew that. I started thinking more and more about this, guys. And I think that this last weekend of college football is the perfect weekend to prove to you all, once and for all, that a 24-team playoff is the way to go.
Trash. Right?
No cash.
Make your case.
And look, I famously know ball, so we can start there.
Is that accurate?
Yes. We all love college football, so give me more college football games. We all know there. And look, Herman disagrees. Herman doesn't know ball. He's unemployed. Like, what are you talking about here? Like, we're going to trust a coach who's not currently working over me? That's what we're going to do here?
Apparently.
Of course not.
By the way, Tom Herman on John Lance tomorrow.
I gave him a hug on Saturday. We're all good. Here's the thing with this, though. Like, and you guys the other day, your argument was like it's watering it down. That was Herm Dog's argument too. It's like watering it down. Quite frankly, anything more than four teams this year is watering it down. No, I only see four teams that are deserving to be in the national championship playoff: Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, and some people might scoff at this one, but not me. BYU. Everybody else has a loss. Why would those other teams be in the mix? Why do they deserve to be in a college football playoffs? You're already watering it down the moment you go past four teams.
That's fine. That's a good argument.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So only teams that are undefeated should have a chance at the title?
I mean, I was pro keeping it four.
So it should be one-loss teams? You think it should be one-loss teams? Well, let's take a look at how many one-loss teams are beyond the top 12. How many one-loss teams are beyond the top 12? Because this one-loss team should be in because of their conference affiliation. Well, this one-loss team should be in because they're a big name. But then you got all these other one-loss teams like, no, never mind. See you later. We don't want that. So if you're making the argument that one-loss teams deserve to be in the college football playoff, I think that's a case for 24.
Yeah, I don't believe in a 24-team playoff, Jerry. I'm not changing my stance.
Oh, I'm not asking you to change your stance. You can be on the wrong side of history all you want.
I don't think I'm on the wrong side of history. And you're my friend, right? We're friends?
I don't know.
Okay, well, then I don't feel bad about this.
I have a small
circle. The Cougs prove you don't need 24 teams, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
Oh, look how shallow you are. Looking at just one team.
I'm not being shallow. It's the truth.
Very shallow.
It's the truth. Okay, you know what? Cincinnati, they were ranked 17th. They lost 45-14 to Utah.
They wouldn't be in the 24-team playoff, Joe. Neither would Houston.
They would have left, but like, if you look at the standings as of last week, they would have. And you look at last year's.
When do we end the season after 10 weeks, Joe? You're not using all the data.
But
losing all the sample size.
I don't think that the teams that eventually get to 24 and 22 and 23 are going to have that much different results here.
Okay.
So
all right.
Okay.
Good rebuttal. Can I finish my point on this?
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Here's another reason, another point for the correct side on the case for 24 teams. Not to mention that we all love college football here, right?
We do.
You guys want to see less college football. You guys want to see less top 25 matchups. Not me. I like college football. I want more college football. I want more top 24 games. You guys don't. Let's point that out. Let's take a look at some of these other leagues, though, and how many teams qualify for the playoffs. You guys like the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are fans of the NFL. You know how many teams make the playoffs in the NFL?
14.
You know how many teams are in the NFL? 32. 44% of the league makes the playoffs. NBA, 30 teams, 16 teams make it, 53%. Major League Baseball, 30 teams, 12 teams make it, 40%. Well, those are pros,
nope.
Branham. You shouldn't use the pros. Okay, fair point. Although college athletics is turning more into professional athletics by the day. Let's look at college basketball then. You know how many college basketball teams are in Division I that can make the NCAA tournament? 361.
Oh.
You know how many make it? 68. Although some people were very against expanding the March Madness, the NCAA tournament. 68 of 361 make the big dance. That's 19%. Do you know how many college football teams there are in the football bowl subdivision? 136. An expansion to a 24-team playoff, 24 teams make it out of 136%, or 136 teams, would be 18%, which is still fewer than college basketball and far fewer than the other big three sports. 24 teams is the way to go.
Wrong.
And then here, let me finish the point here on this. Let me before you jump in. You mentioned Houston, very very unkind of you, but you mentioned Houston. You mentioned Cincinnati. What about Texas? What about Texas, who beat Vanderbilt, a number 20 team in the country over a number 9 team in the country? That sounds like a fun little matchup. How about SMU, who was being overlooked, beating number 10 Miami? You don't think they should be in the? I don't know if they should. I don't know if their resume is going to be there. But a team here outside of the 24 that is beating a top 24 team, Florida. Florida fires their coach and gives Georgia a game. NC State, who was 500, beats number 8 Georgia Tech. Number 12 Notre Dame can't cover the spread against Bill O'Brien. Over Bill O'Brien. The game of the week in the SEC
was
number 18 Oklahoma or number 14 Tennessee. That would be a first round matchup.
I know.
In a 2014 playoff. USC and Nebraska came down to the wire. USC is a top 24 team. Nebraska's on the outside looking in. All of these games were great. High theater. They probably had sensational ratings that were through the roof. And you got, nah, we're good. We don't need any of that.
Probably,
we don't want that.
So you didn't,
we
you
don't
didn't
want
up.
That. You know, I don't look up college football ratings.
My biggest,
I'm not that weak of a life. I don't have that. I'm not that big a loser. I'm a loser. I do a very few things, but I'm not that big a loser.
Here's my biggest problem with your argument, okay? You used sports in which they have watered down playoffs
too many
as
playoff
your
teams.
Reason yeah. to water down the playoffs in college football. Because
do you watch first round matchups, Joe?
I do. But
I rest my case.
It doesn't mean that's not watered down. And there's 20 teams that make the NBA playoffs. In my opinion, I count the playing games. So 2/3 of the NBA makes the playoffs. It's too much. We've gone too far in all of these sports. We don't need to expand, and they're going to expand the
NFL
playoffs.
It would
still
be less than 20%.
I know, but like
it's 18%. 24 of 136 is 18%, the fewest of the five majors.
I understand, but I don't think we should do it. I don't think there's a reason to expand.
Would you watch every single first round matchup? Would you
yes.
get entertainment
yes.
out of that, Joe?
Yes.
Do you like to be entertained or no?
Yes.
I think it's
do you
a leap
want
to
more
say
entertainment? Do you want more hobbies? Do you want more things to do? Do you want less time to spend with your family? Here's the business side of this, guys. Like we're looking at this from like our own, like I don't even think we're looking at this from our own personal preference. I think we're looking at it from like crowning the best champion perspective, or like you guys mentioned the word watered down, whatever, which I don't know how big of a watering down there is whenever you're talking about number 9 versus 24 as opposed to number 5 versus 12. Like that's all kind of in the same ballpark, and outside of the top 5, 6, 7 schools 8 through 30 are all relatively the same. There's not a huge gap between 8 and 30. So the difference there between a first round of a 12 team and the first round of a 24 team ain't that big of a difference. But we're looking at it from like watering down. I don't think we're looking at it from an entertainment value, because I think we would all watch these games as sports lovers. The other thing that we're not talking about is the business side of this. These extra games would sell,
absolutely.
sell. This would be great for college football. More money in it. More NIL. More player opportunity. More games. More money. Like, it's a no-brainer in my opinion.
Why do I care about how much the athletic departments bring in?
I don't. You don't. But the big picture does.
The
power brokers that be care. The ESPNs of the world care. CBS cares. NBC cares. TNT cares. They would love to have more games to put in their inventory. They're buying Mountain West Conference games to show. Like, there would be so much money involved. And look, get rid of the bowls. Like, if we're that worried about, like, extra watered-down games.
Look, I understand, like, the business side of it, of wanting to make more money and wanting to expand beyond ESPN, because I think that's what eventually they want to do. They want to treat the college football playoffs like we have the NFL playoffs, where there's two or three, four networks involved in airing these games and just make even more money. I get it. But I didn't want this to happen. I didn't want 12 teams. It's watered down. Because as you said, there's not 12 teams that deserve to have a chance to play for the college football championship this year. So why would I want more?
Because you like watching college football.
It is fun to watch. It is it's pretty easy to me. It's fun to watch, but it's not. It was
the pretentious. I don't want to watch the number 13 team in the country. It sounds so hard to do. Oh, it's so gross. So beneath me. You watch Texas?
Okay. Let me go now. All right. So I push back at the idea, though, that it's just automatically adding more entertainment. Even a 12-team playoff, we got, what, like four or five complete blowouts that we probably all turned off sometime around halftime. And now we're going to add, 12 more teams to it? Like, looking at last year's top 24.
Yeah, but it'll be whittled down by then.
What do you mean?
Like you're saying there was a lot of blowouts. The teams that were dominated.
Well, yeah, that didn't even include the first round. Like Penn State and SMU.
It would be whittled down by then, though. Like, because you're going to have the eight teams get a bye. So the first round would be teams 9 through 24. They play down to a 16-team bracket. Now you have what you pretty much have currently.
So I still don't think that guarantees competitive games in the first round.
Well, more volume gives you a chance for more competitive games.
I think you get more competitive games in the first round with the eight teams that have a bye, and then you get the same results you had mostly last year. Look, it's again, you're right. This makes me sound like I don't like college football. I love college football.
You sound very pretentious.
But I like college football. Like last year, Michigan, Ohio State should have mattered. It doesn't matter anymore. It's just a game.
Well, that's not true.
It doesn't.
Still matters. There's 100,000 people in the stands, and they're drawing
But it's not what it was
numbers.
Before. Like, I liked Michigan, Ohio State, being like, loser of that game doesn't make the playoffs. Like, I liked how important it was. And I get it. I root for a two-loss
team.
Loser of
the game didn't make the playoff.
Well, because Michigan was bad the rest of the season. But, like, I like the fact that, like, Notre Dame can make the playoffs this year. Yes, I do appreciate that as a fan. But being objective, they should not be a playoff team this year with two losses. They lost two games. It was better the way it was before. Like, you don't – I don't – I
How
didn't
many
need
games did Ohio
teams.
State lose last year?
Two.
Who won the national championship last
Ohio
year?
Ohio State.
Okay. So we should eliminate all two lost teams here.
No, I like four.
Here's another
playoff.
Thing. What did we hear whenever we expanded the four-team playoff? Oh, it's too many. Teams outside of the top four aren't ever going to win it. What seed was Ohio State last year?
That last year doesn't count.
What? What do you mean it doesn't count?
Because they're the weird rankings.
Seed, by the way, right?
Yeah, how does that not count? We're just going to dismiss it because it doesn't fit your narrative?
No.
What do you mean it doesn't count? They wouldn't have been a 14 playoff. We would have never had Ohio State as a national champion.
That's fine.
Oh, and by the way, who did they beat?
They beat Notre Dame.
What was their seed?
Five.
Oh, I don't know. They were a seven,
or
Joe.
Seven.
Know your team. They were a seven. Those teams wouldn't have even been in. Oh, we can't expand past four because it's not. We're watering it down. They're never going to have a chance. We saw an eight seed beat a seven seed in the national championship.
Yeah, that's also.
Do you know what the semis were, by the way? Oh, we can't go past four. We can't go past four. It's watering it down, guys. It's watering it down. We can't go past four. Watering it
down.
You're
using
Boise State. We're not going to get a champion outside of the top four. No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Boise State was not in the semifinal.
But you're saying they were a four seed last year. Like, you're using the college playoff seeding rankings.
Okay, cool. Let's eliminate one team. The eight-seeded Ohio State Buckeyes beat the fifth-seed Texas Longhorns. I'll give in to you guys. Let's eliminate Boise State with an outdated format. Okay, they were a three-seed then. Texas was a three. Kansas State would have been a four. Notre Dame would have been a – I don't know where they would have stacked up if you were just going pure AP. So you have two teams there that were outside of the top four, and you have two teams that were barely in the top four, and you need the – well, there was an antiquated system for them to be a top four team. And it doesn't take away from the fact that the national championship was an 8-7. Oh, but we go past four. And even if you wanted to eliminate Arizona State and Boise State, antiquated system, they're still a 5-6. They're still outside of the top four. That was planned for the national title. Oh, it's watered down. It's watered down.
But they
shouldn't have been in there.
But the thing is, Jeremy, they also, like, they looked at last year and they didn't, like, they gave these guys passes for losing college football playoff games. I mean, losing conference championship games and still put them in the playoffs. Like, we didn't even get, like, a real ranking last year. Like, because it's like, well, they still deserve a spot in the top 12 because they lost the ACC championship game. They didn't. Like, other teams did. Like, I don't know.
Well, that actually helps the case of a 24 team because those other teams would have a chance. They would be in the dance. They would be in the bracket.
I don't think they deserve a chance. They don't deserve it. Win your regular season games.
7-8. Oh, yeah.
What? We did it for like 99% of my life. We did it that way.
I mean,
way.
At some point, it does dilute the regular season. Now, we can argue at what point that is.
Fair. That's fair. I think that's a good point. It does dilute the regular season, 100%. I don't disagree there, Brian. I think it's a very good point. But am I willing to dilute the regular season to have more college football playoffs with high stakes? Yes, I'll take that trade-off every day. Every day. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys, I'm all for the 2014 college football playoff, and I'll give you a few reasons why. First off, December, there's a lot of people off with Christmas and New Year's breaks. We can load up college football playoff games Fridays, Saturdays, Thursdays, all throughout that month. The Army-Navy game should not be the only game on that weekend. That shouldn't be a bye week in college football. That should be a full slate. That game can be played on that day, sure. But there should be playoff games at 11 and then a game at 6 and then a West Coast 1-9. We have the capabilities to play more games, and then more coaches can save their jobs with playoff wins. More teams can host home playoff games. More sponsors can buy more bowl games and have more playoff games. And when it comes down to it, the best four teams are going to make it to the end, and then the best two teams are going to play for it, and truly the best teams are going to win the title. So it's good for everybody.
Keith famously knows ball.
Yeah,
couldn't agree more.
Yeah, because Vandy's ranked 15th. That's
why. What's wrong with Vandy being in?
Because he wants Vandy in.
Oh, you're saying that's why he's yes. He wants 24th
yes.
Vanderbilt.
He knows they'd never be a top four team in college football. That's why he wants
take
it.
Take care of business in the SEC, they would.
Well, they can't.
713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. The committee is going to put together their rankings today. What do we think the ranking should be? We're the committee. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN, 97.5, ESPN, 92.5. YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
ESPN, 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hammer through some of these texts from the junkies real quick. BYU going to get their first loss this weekend. That's going to be a fun game. Really fun game.
Cannot wait.
Brian, you do not need Jeremy Branham to be your friend, and he's wrong about the 2014 playoff. That is stupid. Joe George hates college football.
I didn't say that.
Jeremy said, you're proving it with your actions, Joe.
Wrong.
Jeremy said 6-7 again. I didn't even mean to that time. point for increased playoffs, more football to watch throughout the work week. Quit being un-American and robbing us of more football. You sound like a football terrorist, Joe, says Kristen Humble. Point for increased playoff, March Madness bracket busters in football. March Madness, according to you guys, should just start with the Elite Eight.
Nope.
More madness is better for the sport. Branham just mad because U of H is trash. That's not relevant, and how dare you say that? They need to restructure the conferences and make conference championships part of the college football playoffs with elimination on the line, make conferences matter, and this fixes everything. There would need to be some restructuring. I would want to reduce the regular season, and I would want to eliminate conference championship games. And I do concede and admit that the conferences will never get rid of that because it is a massive moneymaker.
Yeah, the only way they get rid of them is if it had like a major impact on the playoff in a negative way.
And they won't allow that to happen.
Yeah. Like what is it? The Ivy League doesn't do a conference basketball tournament anymore? Or do they just add it back?
No, I think they do it now. They used to not have one, but I think they do it now.
Yeah, where like they just have, even though like you could, if you did eliminate the conference championship games and added the college football playoff, like it probably balances out, I would guess, in revenue. especially if you expand behind.
Well, it's where the money's going. Because, like, the SEC championship game, the SEC is going to get its money, whereas opposed to 2014 playoff, now we're looking at, like, pods. We're looking at, like, how much are each team getting. You're looking at the politics of, like, auto bids, like, all that stuff. So there's a lot of, like, politicking that would need to go on. And, like, I don't think it's going to happen because of these politics. I think it's very hard to do. Like, the Big Ten and the SEC are arguing on the amount right now.
See,
they can't get expansion because of it.
I think it will happen. Like, as much as I don't want it to, I think eventually it will happen.
I hope so.
I think we'll at least go to 16.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think we'll ever get.
But
well, I don't know.
I have a so if it's going to happen, a couple of things. No more auto bids. I think there should be no auto bids. Give me the top 16 teams. Sorry.
What?
Yep. Just the top 16 teams. What
do you mean auto bids?
Like four guaranteed to the Big Ten, four guaranteed to the SEC. Just give me the top 16 teams.
Well, I want to see auto bids for a conference champion.
Well, yeah. But they would be in the top 16. Right, every time.
Can we just write in an auto bid for conference champion?
Sure.
So, like,
sure.
We cover our tails here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
that's fine.
All right.
The other one is, I think what Tom Herman said when he was on with us last week, to me, is really important. I think it should happen in a calendar year. I don't think we should be going into January and going against the NFL. Like, play it within a year. It solves the transfer portal problem. It solves your coaching problems because it just the more you expand. It just raises more and more issues of, like, how the portal is going to work, how the coaching changes are going to work, and how it's going to affect the playoff. It's too complicated.
I don't know if I need it in the year, but the calendar needs to be worked on for sure. Like, I don't know if I want college football ending on January 1st. I don't mind if it goes to the 15th of January, but they do need adjustment on the calendar, concede that point. It's easy for the Notre Dame fan to say win your games. What's Notre Dame's record playing Oklahoma schedule? What a great point.
I acknowledge Notre Dame shouldn't be in the playoff.
Yeah, I like the FCS model. They've been doing a bracket for years. For years
they've been
doing it. Yeah. Jeremy, just wanted to let you know you're killing this debate. I feel like the Alamo, too. I was going 2-on-1 with these suckers.
Well, we don't agree with you.
Expanding to 24 teams would also make it more appealing for big conferences to have more conference games and get rid of all the cupcake matchups. I don't know if they would go more conference games, but maybe get rid of the cupcake matchups.
See, that's the other caveat for me. Like, if we're going to do this,
yeah,
I understand it, but get rid of the trash. Like get rid of Alabama versus Northwest University, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to create a system within these conferences that an SEC team is going to, in week one, play an ACC team. They're going to play a Big Ten team in week two, a Big 12 team in week three, or something like that. Some kind of, we're going to play the best of the best in the regular season. Get rid of the trash. Get rid of the nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't need it anymore.
Super big picture, like pipe, a fairy tale, pie in the sky type of thing. I want Cody Campbell to buy college football and just college athletics in general and have, let's just call it 8-10-team leagues. And you play a true round robin, 9 conference games. Maybe you play 2 or 3, whatever the number is at a conference from within that, 80-team league. And then you just have the 2014 playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there you go. Their problem's fixed. You don't have the conference championship games. You have a true conference champion because it's a true round robin, 9 games, 10 teams. To me, that's the solution, but there's just way too much politics, way too much money, way too many power brokers involved
for us
to ever go simple like that.
I think that's ultimately why I really don't like it. It's because we're going to get to Indiana and these teams here for our 12 teams, but they're saying we're going to schedule the SEC. We're going to schedule all these soft teams to help us and help it make it easier to make the playoffs. Like, all that stuff, I don't like it. And I want real, meaningful football from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. Like, I think you should reward Texas for losing week one to Ohio State. You should reward Notre Dame for losing to good teams because they're playing real opponents.
I don't know if we should reward them.
Well, I think it should matter. Like, those losses should outweigh versus playing, beating a terrible school. Like, you're playing better competition. So, that to me is where I'm fine with it. It's the negatives that we currently have in college football that are not going to go away.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think they're going to get worse.
Yeah, if you had an 80-team league, maybe you can even have an NFL type of schedule where you have some sort of out-of-conference strength of schedule. Now we're going too far into the weeds and fairy tales. It'd be better. 100% it'd be better. You give Joe, Brian, and I a chance to rule college football.
We could fix it.
We're probably going to screw it up. We're probably going to really, really screw it up. All right, College Football Playoff Committee is going to release their top 25 a little bit later tonight. What is your 12?
You want to go 1 through 12 or 12 through 1?
Yeah, I think 1 through 12.
Okay. Now, I'll explain my reasoning, so let me finish.
Sounds like you don't have Ohio State number one.
I don't. Indiana number one. Texas A&M number two. Ohio State number three. Alabama four. Georgia five. Ole Miss six. Oregon seven. Texas Tech eight. BYU nine. Notre Dame 10. Texas 11. Memphis 12.
The disrespect here.
To who?
BYU.
Yeah.
Absolute disrespect.
I
get why too, Joe. It's you're not fooling me.
It's the number 47 quarterback. I can't get over it.
Well, you can't get over. I can't get over it.
Like you got, if you're gonna be undefeated, like you got to beat a real team.
You
if you're wearing number
petty
47.
Over Bear wearing 47.
Where did you have Notre Dame?
10.
Okay.
And I have Texas at 11. And the reason why? So
11?
I did this. Yeah, I did this in reverse order. Okay. I went from 12 to 1. So
seems
the reason
like a
why
smart
I have
way to do it.
The reason why I have Indiana number one over A&M and Ohio State is because, to me, in my top 12, they have the best win against Oregon. Texas A&M has the next one against Notre Dame, and Ohio State is the one after that against Texas. I think Texas is deserving of a top 12 team right now.
Okay. My top 12, I have Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, A&M 3, BYU 4, Oregon 5, Bama 6, Georgia 7, Ole Miss 8, Texas Tech 9, Louisville 10, Georgia Tech 11, Notre Dame 12.
Okay. Notre Dame can't be – well, Notre Dame would be out of the playoffs then. That makes me sad.
Why would they be out of the playoffs? Because of the group of five thing?
Did you have a group of five team in yours, Jeremy? I didn't.
No, but that's not how they do their – they don't
– oh, yeah. I kind of –
I went based on what their rankings are going
to be. Okay. I'm just checking because I have to change mine by one, so I'm just checking.
Yeah, I gaffed that.
Did you have a group of five, Joe?
Yeah, I put Memphis 12 for that reason.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I had to do that – oh, I'll tell you after Brian. I have to think about it.
So I also had Ohio State number one. I had the Aggies number two because, to me, their win at Notre Dame was pretty damn impressive. Indiana number three. Oregon four, which I think will probably draw some ire from SEC fans being ahead of Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss. But to me, Oregon's loss to Indiana is the more impressive loss than, like, Alabama losing to Florida State. And then it kind of trickles down since Alabama beat Georgia and Georgia beat Ole Miss. So anyway, Oregon four. Four, Alabama 5, Georgia 6, Ole Miss 7, BYU 8, Texas Tech 9, the Longhorns at 10, OU 11, Notre Dame 12. But Notre Dame would be out because of the group of five team.
I'm noticing some biases from your side.
I'm surprised you have Texas in front of Notre Dame.
To me, Texas has better wins.
That's fair, but I don't know.
You know what I hate? Yes. I hate that we're sitting here arguing quality of victory. It's one of the least favorite things of college football. I cannot stand it. That's why I won a 2014 playoff, so it diminishes this whole quality of victory argument. We do this every year where college football committee comes out. Well, look what this team did. Look what this team beat. Look who they lost to. Well, then look who this team beat. Look who this team lost to. It's the stupidest thing we argue in sports.
That's the other reason why, honestly, I don't love the 2014 playoff, though, is because I don't want to argue 24 through 27.
Because we would still have the same argument. Though, it'd just be for the later teams.
We would, no doubt about it. But it would be less important.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be as serious of an argument because now it's more, well, you controlled your destiny. You didn't lose the third game. You wouldn't be on the chopping block here.
People said the same thing, though, when we went from 4 to 12, though. That was part of the argument. Like, well, I'd rather argue about who's 13 and 14 than 5 and 6.
But that's true, though. Because, like, in the past, like, when it was a 4 team, we're talking about, like, undefeated teams, whether or not they belong. Like, when we're talking about team 13 and 14, it's like, well, this 2 or 3 loss team. Like, it does to me, at least,
yeah.
Like, make it a little bit of a lighter argument because we're not talking about teams that literally were undefeated. Like, Florida State was undefeated. We're like, well, they lost their quarterback.
Sure.
That's so dumb. That's
yeah, no,
so dumb.
I get it. It would diminish the importance of the argument. I just don't think the argument would go away. Is all
no,
I'm saying.
I agree with that. Okay. I agree with that. We're on the same page there for sure. And then look, maybe like in an alternate universe, there's also and I think we've argued about this in the past too. You know, maybe you just do the automatic qualifier. Maybe there is a deal to be brokered where okay, this conference gets 4, this conference gets 4, this conference gets 3, this conference gets 2, which would eliminate the argument about the at-larges, unless you keep some at-larges.
I think that's their current plan, right? Would be like there's still like 4
really
at-large
know.
Spots.
Like some conferences want it, some conferences don't. Like I don't know where everybody stands. And again, a lot of it's politic and negotiating. Mm-hmm. So like you're going to say to the media one thing, but do something closed door differently, like the Texans with the tush push. So like I don't know where everybody lies. I used to be pretty against the automatic qualifier, but I like the automatic qualifier from the sense that it eliminates the whole at-large arguments that I hate having. Because now you have, well, this is what it takes. Here's the qualifier for you. You need to be top four in this league. You need to be top three in this league. Okay. All right. Now you know what you have to achieve, and you don't have to worry about some nerds in a boardroom who probably have ulterior motives that are making the decision.
Yeah. Okay. I guess Notre Dame's joining the conference then.
Join the conference, Notre Dame. Don't hold back. All right, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I don't really know what I want to do next. Let's do game balls. Let's hit out game balls from the NFL weekend. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what I really want to do? I want to get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort when the weather is crisp, when the weather is cool, when the weather is great. I'm going to have to do that. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and bustle of the job. Escape co-host or escape colleagues ganging up on you in argument. And go enjoy the peaceful rest and relaxation of Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Just kidding. I kind of like that. But I have the best weekend idea for you. I had the best time of some PTO usage for you. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city. Enjoy those relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. They got the open green spaces you're going to love. Wildlife that you just don't see in the city. Beautiful nature out there. Some of the best fishing in Texas if you're a fisherman or a fisherwoman. They got the Two Creeks alongside the property. You're going to love that. They got the big catch and release pond in the middle of the property. You're going to love that, too. It's also just 90 minutes from Houston, so you can escape the city without traveling too far. You don't have to wait in TSA for 8-9 hours, some are saying. You don't have to hop in the car and travel 6-7 hours. You're there in an hour and a half. Get your vacation started right and quickly, too. Hike their 92 acres of property. Do some kayaking. Play a little pickleball. Have a drink at Swampers. They got the glamping. They got the cabins. They got the treehouse. They got RV hookup spots for you. Perfect stay for everybody. Let's just take next weekend, for instance. They're honoring Veterans Day, a little Veterans Day weekend next Friday, next Saturday, an outdoor family movie on Friday, a little live music featuring Shane Porter on Saturday, and they got college football for you at Swampers, so you can argue how many teams should make the playoff with whoever's out there at Swampers. Have a great time. And right now, look at this special. From November through February, you're going to get 40% off all cabin rentals and 20% off nightly RV stays. The 40-20 discount. You can't beat it. So head over to TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. Book now. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We'll do game balls tomorrow. There's some meat on the bone here. 713-780-3776. This junkie, so you're bringing back some BCS? I don't really know what that means. Like, maybe that the BCS formula told you who was in and who was out.
Yeah.
But that still had a human element because they took the AP and coaches poll as part of the algorithm. So, like, I don't really get that text.
I don't either. And I'm with you. Like, I'd rather just go. I think it is better if you just go based on standings. Just get rid of the human element. I'm more open to a lot of this argument.
Yeah. The standings work better whenever you have, like, one league. Like the 80-team league that we want to do, as opposed to like an unbalanced set of conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Because like what they want to do is they want the Big Ten to have four auto spots. They want the SEC to have four. I think the Big 12 ACC was either two or three. I can't remember the proposal. And then one for group of five. And then they wanted the rest at large.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not completely getting rid of the at-large system. You still have some at-large that we're going to have the arguments over. And then the issue that I have with the automatic qualifier being tiered like that is, what if there's a conference that's better than the other conference that year? What if the ACC is better than the Big Ten one year?
Yeah, like, I think it's short-sighted.
Why is it locked in?
Yeah, to think that the SEC and the Big Ten, but they control everything right now, so that's why they're throwing their weight around. So that, like, it's to me, it should be, it starts there. It, balance it. Three for each conference. I know that doesn't make the SEC happy. It doesn't make the Big Ten happy. But like,
I get it from their perspective.
I get it too.
The best teams the last 10 years have been in those conferences, by and large.
I mean, the easiest thing to do would be to go down to three conferences and have four from each. And just say the Big 12 and the ACC, you got to merge.
The scheduling there is difficult, though, because now you're talking about these super leagues. They're going to have 24 teams. And you're only going to play nine conference games, so it's going to be super unbalanced that way, too.
But then you have two sides, like the Big Ten used to do. Winner plays in the championship game.
Yeah, it's flawed system now. It's far from perfect. You can never get to perfect, but you can get a lot closer to perfect.
The only way you can get to perfect is if you do the supermodel. You have two conferences.
So. Well, no, I disagree, because you still have an unbalanced schedule. I think you just need an 80 team league. I think you need an 80 team league. Here's our 80 team league. We're geographically going to divide you into eight 10 teams conferences. We're going to control your schedule. You're going to play nine conference games, no conference title game. Your three out of conferences, two or three out of conferences, is going to be determined based on a rotating model that we have. That way, every schedule is fair and balanced, as fair and balanced as it can be. It's never going to be completely fair and balanced, but as fair and balanced as possible. I think that's the way you do it.
I think we'll get. How much more of the 12 team do you think we're going to see? I think it's this year and maybe one more before they try to expand it.
Well, they missed their deadline, right? So
yeah.
It's at least through next year.
I think that's right.
Yeah, maybe they expand it the year after to 16.
Which, like, I kind of want to, like, before we expand too, I want to see how this model works. Like last year, we saw all the teams that had buys lose in the first round, right? So I want to, like, if that happens for a second year in a row, then there really becomes an argument to expand just on the fact that all these teams with buys are losing. Like, if this year the 1 through 4 all lose, which I think is unlikely, but because they haven't played in a while, it negatively affects them, then we have more of a sample size of what does and does not work in a 12-team playoff. So that's why I want to give this a couple years to, like, see how it works. The BCS got a long runway. The 4-team playoff got a runway. Like, let this thing play out a little bit before we rush to change everything.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that, though.
This is what I hate about it, though. It's such, like, a broken model, but it's college football, so we love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It is great.
And it is way better than it was when it was 2, and it's way better than it was when it was 4. Like, I don't want to sound like a too big of a curmudgeon and, like, hate the sport, because I don't. And I think it's way better now than it was 5 years ago, and way better than it was 10 years ago, and way better than it was 20 years ago. So we have seen some progressive movement in the right direction. Any chance you would explore college football taking the European Soccer League model with different tiers of promotion and relegation for programs? I think that would be fantastic.
Awesome.
I think it would be completely awesome. But good luck getting the blue bloods of college football to agree to anything which would take them out of the top tier of college football.
Yeah, like, how does LSU handle that? You have one bad year and you lose a bowl game that half your players transfer from because they're going to a new school and you're going to the bottom of the barrel. That's ultimately the problem, is these kids would leave.
Yeah,
they would leave before the game. They would say, well, we're not going to risk, you know, being at Vanderbilt and going down to the lower tier league. We're all going to enter the transfer portal. I mean, hell, you had bowl games last year. Teams couldn't even field the roster. Yeah. It'd be the same problem there.
No, I would love that. It's literally unrealistic. And I think my 80 team idea is actually unrealistic too. So, all right. I'm tired of talking to you guys. 713-780-3776. I've had enough of y'all. Junkie of the day coming up next. It is Jeremy and Joe featuring Brian on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. Before we get to our junkie of the day, got a couple little nuggets here for you from the Astros and the Texans. Start with the Texans. According to Aaron Wilson, Texans kicker Kyme Fairburn is working through a lower body injury, and his status for Sunday against the Jaguars is up in the air. The Texans brought in free agent kicker Matthew Wright.
Who the f*** is that guy?
For a workout today. He apparently...
Was I like that you used the word apparently.
Was the kicker for the Commanders game, because I didn't watch most of it.
The Commanders' most recent game?
Yes.
Huh.
So I think I guess he was filling in there. Now he's filling.
Never heard of this guy.
Potentially. Well, let me tell you.
But considering Kaimi scored, let me check, all of the Texans' points their last game.
Great.
This is a major, major problem.
His Wikipedia is incredible to look at.
Because it's so short?
No, it's the opposite.
What, because of all
these, practice squads and things he's been on. He has been on, I'm not counting this, there is at least 16 stops. Since 2019 on this. Now, he hasn't kicked on all
NFL, or there's some USFL, CFL mix in
there? There's one Tampa Bay Vipers season.
Okay.
But this year alone, he has kicked and been on the regular season roster for the Commanders and the Titans and been on the practice squad for the Panthers. So this will be his fourth team this season. His career, he is 55 for 63. In the NFL.
That's not bad.
Now, this Wikipedia says he didn't kick a field goal in 2025, so maybe he didn't actually make an appearance. Career long, 59 yards.
Okay. So we won't have to have Dare kick field goals like they did last year when Kaimi got hurt?
I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. Other news. This one's actually more relevant. Brian McTaggart. Source. The Astros are targeting Victor Rodriguez to join the Major League staff as the hitting coach. Rodriguez served as the last two seasons as the Padres hitting coach, was the assistant hitting coach for the Red Sox in 2013 to 2017, and the Guardians from 2018 to 2023. Chandler Rome also reported that they're talking with Andy Haynes, formerly of the Pirates, Brewers, and Cubs, as an option to be the hitting coach. Haynes overlapped with Joe Espada in the Marlins system. So it appears the Astros are at least working towards filling one of their vacancies right now, which they have a ton because guys have left. They've been fired. The Astros have a lot of off-the-field things they have to solve also this offseason.
I mean, on the surface, I don't know a lot about those guys.
Padres can hit.
But that's exactly where I was going. Like, when you told me, oh, he was the Padres guy, I was like, okay, they had a good offense. I'd be willing to at least give that a chance. Like, I'm not going to strike that off right, you know, immediately just because, like, they hired a guy from a bad offense. Kind of like when David Coley was hired. He's like, wait, the wide receivers coach from that Chiefs team that had zero touchdowns to the wide receivers that one year? So at least this is a guy coming from a good offense that I don't have to dismiss immediately.
Yeah. You know what? They got to fill them. I won't have hot takes on them when they get filled.
No.
Because they're hitting
coaches. It's too early to have hot takes on those guys.
I mean, I don't know. Like, we don't know anything about these guys. Like, I mean, is this guy...
There's no way to know.
Yeah, like, I guess we can look at, like, Fernando Tatis' numbers for the last 2 years and see if they're exponentially up. Now, we know with the Blue Jays, like, it's gone much better this year.
Well, I do know Fernando missed, like, what, half a year?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So, all right, hopefully that guy wasn't involved in that.
Jeremy left us again, by the way.
His commitment to the show is deeply depressing.
Yeah, he's got Cougs basketball. Everyone gives us griefs for, you know, missing days and whatnot.
But he was the hardest working guy at the station. He missed the show 2 days in a row.
It's garbage. All right, let's get to our junkie of the day. Brian, you can lead us off.
All right, so first off is Nick Caserio / the Texans for not doing anything at today's trade deadline. Like, I was with you guys. They didn't have to remake the entire roster, but there were some guys on expiring contracts for a team that's not going where they should have moved on and gotten some picks, even if they only were like fifth or sixth round picks. Also throw in the Cowboys for not only losing to the Cardinals last night and Jacoby Brissett, but then for some reason trading away a bunch of high valuable picks for a team that's 3-5-1 and not going anywhere. I guess they wanted to go 7-8-1 with all those picks missing. And then last one, Joe, I don't know if you saw this. So this is the time of year in college basketball where teams obviously schedule cupcake wins.
Mm-hmm.
I saw maybe the most comical cupcake win I've seen. Now, Prairie View A&M won 95-48 last night.
Okay.
You might have asked, well, who they play, Brian? They played a team, I kid you not, the name of this school is Biblical Studies.
Oh, that's not a real school.
Who is it?
I don't know. It's not a real school.
Aiding to your point there, when I pull it up on the ESPN screen, it doesn't even have a logo. It's just the letter B for them. They don't even have a – like, Prairie View – it's not just the app, because Prairie View has their their logo that loads on this game tracker screen. But when you look at biblical studies, it's just the letter B with a gray background.
I mean, it reminds me, like, hearing that, it's like, remember that high school football team that was full of, like, JUCO kids?
Yeah.
A couple years ago, they got, like, run over by Bishop Gorman.
The fake school? Well, yeah, I forget what the name of it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Prayer View, could there be a school above biblical studies that we could have scheduled? I mean, it's not asking too much.
So I will bounce off that one here. This is the tweet I saw first last night, okay? From Frozen Flores on Twitter. This is not an understatement. One of the largest upsets in college basketball history is final. D2 Hawaii Pacific, a university in a former strip mall, and plays their home games at a former Franciscan Adult Day Center facility, just beat Mountain West member Boise State. Yes, Boise State last night lost to a D2 college that has their university in a former strip mall, 79-78, thus disqualifying, in my mind, Boise State for March Madness this year. I don't care what you do the rest of the season.
I agree with that.
Also, Junkie of the Day final nomination here. Tom Brady cloned his dog.
We have to spin this into more content, because the idea of him cloning a dog is hilarious to me. I mean, I hope at least it was a good dog. I can't imagine cloning a dog that was a pain in the ass.
It's a good dog, Brian. You're not cloning a dog that pees on the carpet.
I don't know what Tom Brady's doing.
All right, who's the winner?
I mean, I think it's got to be. Where are we getting it to? Give it to Hawaii Pacific? What's that?
Slash Boise State?
Yeah, like, I don't know which side of this we're giving it to.
We'll give it to Hawaii Pacific for earning a hard-earned
victory. I don't
know
if we're going negative or positive with
this
nomination.
We'll take the positive out of it. So they win. That does it for us. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis is next. Before we go, YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday Night Football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. We'll be back tomorrow. Maybe Jeremy Branham will work 3 hours. Goodbye.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.